Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I think it's good that your proactive nature is phenomenal. I think everybody here in the council agrees with that. And, you know, we're trying to, what's a kid's life worth, right? Can't put a price on it. Some kid gets run over across, you know, how the kids are, especially in a smaller school. You know, they dot out, you know, shoot out across the street not looking. I mean, I think this is a good thing. I'm all for it. You have my full support.
Mike Cusack, city councilman in the city of Milton, says, I am all in favor of putting in speed cameras in school zones so that when people are going 11 miles an hour over, you know, this one goes to 11, it's the Spinal Tap rule, when they're going 31 in the school zone, they will get a $100 ticket in the mail. MPD puts eyes on every ticket to make sure that it's accurate, but once that happens, it is. During the presence of kids, it'd be 31 in the 20. When the kids are not present through the rest of the daytime, it'd be 46 and a 35. There's nothing for overnight. It would not be all-day enforcement, as I understand it, unless things change. But Jen Frank, the chief of police, came to the city council with this proposal, and she does not ask them to make a change. What she asked them to do is to authorize her to go to these companies, four or five of which do this, that she's been talking with, and to let them do a speed study to find out if it's even necessary or not, because they just don't have good data on whether people are speeding in the school zones. But she's had anecdotal complaints, and when you have anecdotal complaints, you need to get data. Once you have data, then you can make an informed decision about whether or not. Of course, the long history with cameras for traffic enforcement in Milton has been, let's just say, unpleasant. Milton had them for red lights. They got rid of them for red lights. Obviously, in Gulf Breeze, they are still in existence, and they work. And also, the police enforce speed limits, and Jimmy Petronas got a ticket for going 6 over, going 41 and 35. In Gulf Breeze a couple of days ago. So, you know, I'm surprised a little bit by this because, you know, this is something that Milton has said no to before, but not quite this. You know, school zones are different than red lights, okay? John, you were surprised that...
I was very surprised.
Almost everybody is on board with this. They seem to think that it's a great idea. Casey Powell says, you know, the only thing that I disagree with is the question of, during the rest of the day, you know, during the school day, should you do it or should it only be during, like, the kids are present times? But also we have the, you know, the flashing lights are a discouragement to people. And as you said, John, then it's right that there's always a cop out in the street.
Oh, I know.
Lights are on
me.
And it's like, oh, you know, you pay attention, you go slower. And that's a very effective slow down tactic. But of course, if somebody goes speeding through there, then what? They got to chase off after them. Sometimes you don't even arrest people because that can create problems as well. Then we got to what I thought was the most interesting part of the night, of this conversation. So you have basically several city council members have already said, yeah, this is great. Let's at least find out whether we need to take action or not. And then Robert Leak offers what I can only describe as the most befuddling series of comments on this topic. But I'll let you decide. So again, $100 ticket, speed cameras, only in school zones. It'd be 31 when it's 20, and it'd be 46 when it's 35. And it would be MPD puts eyes on everyone to make sure that it goes out to people under the right circumstances. And there's not much of a judgment call on speeding tickets. It's not like red light tickets. But okay, so here goes Robert Leak.
Well, it looks like that I might be alone on this one. You know, I called an officer in Pensacola today. They don't have the school cameras, but I did talk to him about the red light cameras. You know, they also review before writing a ticket, and it's a huge strain on them.
He says it's a personnel strain. I have not heard that from Pensacola, but I will ask on Thursday if it is.
You know, our speed limit right there is 35 to begin with. And then if we are not going to write a ticket until a person reaches 31 miles an hour, you know, what's really the point?
Well, because there's a difference when kids are present. I mean, yeah, if you're going to write a ticket at 31 when kids are present and you're not going to write a ticket until 46 when the kids aren't present or send a ticket, what's the point? Well, the point is that it's different when kids are present. And he doesn't seem to get that.
Biggest thing out of that conversation was nothing replaces the visual of the blue lights right there in the school zone.
And that's a good point. The discouraging effect of having the cop there with the lights going is definitely affecting traffic, certainly.
The feedback that I did receive from this, no one is in support of it. But it looks like I'm alone.
And so Jen Frank, the police chief, is going to explain why you have different speed limits for when kids are present.
And for someone who might say, well, if it's normally 35, why would we write at 31 versus if we're not writing up until 35? Because that is a time frame that we recognize there's a vulnerable population in that area. And so we would expect for the speed to be different to account for folks who have perhaps a reduced judgment and decision-making skills and ability. And so that would be the reason as far as from the difference between a 31 versus a 35 on that speed area.
Do you call it woman-splaining?
That's on you. I am not going to touch that
when,
one.
When the female chief of police
refuse to answer.
Is giving what I consider to be sort of basic perspective to one of the council members. Well, sir, because there's kids there. I mean, I didn't realize people struggle with this concept. Why would you issue a ticket at 31 when normally you let people drive through there at 35? Because it's kids present, sir. you do things differently. I'll come back to this in a second. John Pincus has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 look good. But if you're on Highway 29, south of Kingsfield, going southbound all the way to 9 Mile, you're seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And also 98 westbound. As you approach the Garcelon Point Bridge, seeing some delays through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, I got some texts in here. One person says, you could put one of those in front of St. John's on Navy Boulevard and make millions. somebody else says, it's not woman-splaining, it's law-splaining. I just think it's, I mean, if it's man-splaining when it's a man, it's woman-splaining when it's a woman. And, I mean, no judgment on her. She's saying the right thing, and it reminds me of the Guam thing. You know, like Hank Johnson doesn't understand that if you put more Marines on Guam, it's not going to tip over. And then, you know, the admiral has to explain, well, sir, I just don't think that's a fear. You know, like, well, I just don't understand why we'd give a ticket at 31 when kids are around in the morning and we don't even give a ticket. You know, we say you can go up to 35 most of the time. What? But English, though, right? We're talking English.
But we're not writing a ticket until 31 miles an hour. And the regular speed limit is 35.
Yeah.
So
35 when children aren't present.
Yeah, when children aren't present.
Correct.
But, you know, so what would be the, you know, what would be the purpose? Because you're so close to the normal speed limit going down Stewart at that point anyway, 31 and 35. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the moment, it's, you know, when children are present, it's 20 miles per hour.
I've got nothing. I don't know. You know, maybe it's one of those, like, he needs a Hershey's bar. I don't know what's going on here.
But, you know, even at 30 miles an hour, they're not going to get a ticket. So what is the punishment at 30 miles an hour?
So Jen Frank again explains... Well, sir, the law, though.
You could still, just to be clear, law enforcement can still enforce that. If you're going 2 miles an hour over, the law enforcement could enforce that. The cameras themselves, though, would not engage. We're really targeting, they call it aggressive driving. I think that's a poor term, but we're really targeting those egregious drivers. Once you hit 11 miles an hour over, this is egregious.
And by the way, she's right. You cannot get a ticket for doing 1 to 5 over in a regular zone in Florida, but you can for 1 mile an hour over in a school zone. You go 21 in a school zone, you can get a ticket. And by the way, it's $50, not the 25 that they say for the 6 to 9 area. But, you know, like if you're going 66 and a 65, you cannot get a ticket in Florida. You can get pulled over, you can get warned, but you cannot get a ticket. Anyway, and she says, like, sometimes pulling a car over actually makes it less safe, so we let them go. This would catch everybody who's speeding. But Robert Leake is just like, I don't know, somebody needed to poke him. He'd be like, shh, just shh. Just stop. Just quit while you're behind.
But with those stops, you know, even at 30 miles an hour, that car can realistically just continue on and no punishment whatsoever. So what would be the point? But between 30 miles an hour and the camera clocking them at 31 and actually receiving punishment with a ticket, you know, they can buzz through there at 30.
So now he's complaining that it's not vigorous enough? First, he doesn't understand why you'd give them a ticket at 31 and they can normally drive 35 when the kids aren't present. And now he's complaining that 11 is too much of a grace zone. It ought to be 5 or 1 or something like that. And, you know, because people will know they can go 30 and get away with it and not go 31. Well, and she's already explained, no, the cop can actually stop you at 30 or 29 or 28 or 26 or 25. And it's also kind of the, well, what is 1 mile an hour difference? It's like the person who gets pulled over speeding. Well, sir, if I'd only been going 1 mile an hour less, you wouldn't have given me a ticket. That, you know, like that kind of argument. It's the incremental, the Zeno's paradox. Sorry, philosophy reference. Anyway, you know, if you're going 66 and 65, you wouldn't give me a ticket. And if you add 1 and 1, when does it become wrong? Well, at 11, it's wrong. You know, that's what we're deciding. So one more time, you know, Robert Leak, I'm trying to give him a chance to explain himself.
I'm in the school zones quite a bit during the day, but, you know, I hardly ever see anybody just zipping through there like that. So I'm not sure if we have a problem. So I'm not sure if we should get a study to see if we do have a problem. And if we don't have a problem, then we just wasted that company's time, basically.
Well, and Mayor Heather Lindsay, who, you know, if you know the history of the show, I'm not always going to jump in and say Heather Lindsay's got the voice of reason, but she's like, Robert.
It sounds like, though, that it would be beneficial to at least have the study so we have the information, and this conversation that we're having can continue so that there's no obligation incurred until after the concerns have been fully vetted.
Right. What's the problem with letting them do a study at no cost to us?
And I just did wonder, if someone was traveling at 30 miles an hour in the school zone, even though it wouldn't get picked up by the camera for a violation, if a police officer was there, they could still stop them.
Right. I mean, we can do this now, you know, so what's the issue? Anyway, so they go on to have a little bit more conversation. Jen Frank says, we don't have the manpower to arrest as many people as we'd like. This is a much more efficient system, and it doesn't create the disruption that pulling people over does. Casey Powell says, you know, people did not like the red light cameras.
Obviously, our community didn't want the red light cameras in. They felt like that was a violation of their privacy in a lot of ways. A lot of people felt that way. So I do have a concern about, you know, when it's outside of the school zone times, posted times, you know, I just think the perception of that, not the intent, but the perception of that for a lot of people is going to be that we're just trying to find a way to generate revenue off of those devices
And Ashley Fretwell.
But if you're not speeding, then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
I agree 100%.
Right.
I don't disagree with you at all.
The goal is to get zero revenue from this program.
Right.
I understand that.
That is the sincere hope is to get zero.
The goal
we know
safety.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The goal is safety, plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, just do the law and you'll be fine. So I don't know if this is going to get passed tonight. I kind of suspect that it would because all they're really looking for is information, you know, go to the study. I have been so impressed with Jen Frank so far. She has been fantastic. Somebody texts in, Milton doesn't deserve Jen Frank. I mean, she's been fantastic. Oh, somebody says when a woman explains things, it's just called being married.
Oh, well, you know what? That's true.
That's funny. Oh, somebody else says, this is making my brain hurt. Oh, I get it. I do. I understand. Oh, man. So anyway, by the way, part of her presentation involved explaining that in neighboring municipalities, when they have tried this, they have cut down on speeding in school zones by 95 to 97%, like a massive reduction in people speeding in school zones. So, you know, we'll see what the city council does tonight. You know, you can pay attention. I just wanted you to not have it happen and you not realize what was going on. So if you want to show up and, you know, pitch a fit or praise them or, you know, whatever, that's your government. Participate in your government. John, I know you were surprised that the city of Milton was thinking about taking this up because of the prior bad taste from the red light cameras.
Yeah, prior bad taste is right. So it really surprised me.
But and to have them all except for, I think, a very confused Robert Leak make an objection.
Maybe he was just tired that day.
Yeah, I mean, everybody can get on the wrong track and then you can't get back on the highway again, you know, and that
He definitely needed a Hershey's.
He just needed a Hershey's bar and an energy drink and a back rub and some coffee and maybe
this
a
thing
nap.
Got real,
you know,
deep. Okay.
Whatever you take to recuperate, you know, some ginkgo biloba. I don't know. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All right. We've just got one accident on the books. Pine Forest Road and Sweetheart Lane. Seeing some minor road blockage on Pine Forest. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, you're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Are you looking for something fun to do this fall? Well, you're invited to our church's Fall Festival. Northstone Baptist Church will provide games and activities for people of all ages. Everyone is welcome to enjoy the hay rides, dunk tank, food trucks, bounce houses, door prize giveaways, and much more. So mark your calendars for Saturday, November 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. We want you to be our guest at Northstone. This fall festival will be located on our church's beautiful 11-acre property in Northwest Pensacola. Our church address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road, so plan to join us this November 8th. For more information about our fall festival, visit our church's website, www.northstonebaptist.org, or check out our church's Facebook page. We do hope to see you Saturday evening, November 8th, for family fun at the Northstone Fall Festival.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Good morning, 728 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And didn't you know that that's exactly what you needed to get up and going this morning is a little weepy REM. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Former Vice President Dick Cheney has died at the age of 84. Cheney's family said his death was due to complications from pneumonia and cardiac and vascular disease. There's a new report out about the deadly Cybertruck explosion outside the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas on New Year's Day. A report from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department says it was premeditated. The report says that Special Operations Soldier Matthew Livelsberger left a manifesto that was deemed classified by the Department of Defense. Investigators collected significant digital information about Livelsberger, including his ChatGPT history. And Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, wants cameras in the courtroom for the trial of her husband's assassin. Kirk told Fox News' Jesse Waters that there were cameras all over her husband when he was murdered, so she thinks it's fitting that cameras should be in the courtroom. The Utah judge in the case has placed some restrictions on camera coverage, but has not banned them entirely.
I'm not really clear why every courtroom just doesn't stream the trial. Just as a general matter, because you can go and watch, and all that does is make it possible to watch at a distance. You know, I have the same view of like the Supreme Court oral arguments. They will not do cameras, and it makes no sense to me. I mean, I've heard the arguments that, you know, people play to the cameras. Okay, I don't know. You can, if you can go watch, why can't you watch online? You know, it's just it's weird to me. that there's this discussion. I understand that there might be times when you have to black it out to protect somebody's identity. I understand that there might be sensitive content. I'm not sure that you want it broadcast, but, you know, just like YouTube, good Lord, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, just it's a proceeding of the government. We should be able to watch it. The barrier to access should be low. And I mean, think of all the, you know, people who would want to go but would watch it at home. And then you don't have to security check those people. I mean, just, I don't know. I'm not sure I understand why we don't do this already everywhere all the time. David, thanks. I don't know that I would watch, but I'd like to be able to. And there might be particular ones I'd want to watch and hear the arguments. Or if there's a high profile case, you know, report on it more easily as a news person. I mean, all of those things. Oh, by the way, I looked up Michael Stipe, the lead singer of REM. You know how he used to go bald and wear a kafaya and look all, you know, protesty? And now he's got a massively long beard and wears the tux.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Dick Cheney served three U.S. presidents, culminating his career in D.C. politics as vice president to President George W. Bush. He died last night at the age of 84.
He played a central role in the administration's war on terror and was considered by many political observers to be the most influential vice president in recent history. He'd also served as Secretary of Defense under President George H.W. Bush and been President Ford's White House Chief of Staff.
Now, Fox's Lillian Wu, cardiovascular disease, pneumonia, listed as the cause of death. Cheney, a staunch opponent of President Trump, said he voted for Vice President Kamala Harris in 2024, the election a year ago. Before the election, he said, there's never been an individual who's a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. It's News Radio 92.3. We've got 48 degrees and sunshine this morning in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Escambia County residents have expressed support for a proposed ordinance that would preserve Navy Point Park as being a public green space. An ordinance will be voted on by Escambia County commissioners this week, which would prohibit future construction, including docks and piers at the park, and also ensures that the park would remain under county stewardship. Commissioner Mike Kohler said he received more than 30 emails advocating for protections for the park. The ordinance would stipulate that it can only be repealed by a unanimous vote of the Board of County Commissioners. The Escambia Board of Commissioners meets this Thursday. They'll discuss the ordinance. They have a public forum starting at 4:30 p.m. Bay Minette's Police Chief Al Tolbert has resigned. NBC 15 reporting Tolbert was informed by new Bay Minette Mayor Joshua Brown he wouldn't be reappointed. Tolbert has served as police chief since 2017. The city says new chief will be appointed at Brown's swearing-in ceremony. Downtown Pensacola set to kick off the holiday season tomorrow with the Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree event featuring the First City Lights Festival. Those festivities begin at 5 p.m. with the lighting of a half million lights outside Pensacola Museum of History. That'll be accompanied by the first appearance of Santa for photo opportunities. The evening will also launch the 9th annual Holiday Haul on Palafox, where downtown boutiques host a holiday open house. Tonight, you can grab the family and take in an outdoor movie. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says it's free, and it'll be under the stars.
The weather looks great tonight as Santa Rosa Parks and Rec is bringing the big screen outdoors with the launch of its new Movie in the Parks program. Residents can enjoy free, family-friendly Tuesday movie nights under the stars. Tonight, the first event features Monsters, Inc. at Benny Russell Park and Pace. Bring the blankets and lawn chairs for a fun-filled evening of entertainment. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Two insurance companies have been fined for their conduct during hurricanes. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation said yesterday that Kin Interinsurance Network and Slide Insurance had been fined $250,000 each. The companies reportedly violated the state's insurance code following Hurricanes Ian and Idalia. Insurance Commissioner Mike Jaworski says his office takes consumer protection very seriously. Senator Rick Scott has a bill that he says would protect Florida's pristine coasts. Scott announcing yesterday he's reintroducing the American Shores Protection Act. The bill calls for a permanent ban on oil drilling off the coast. Right now, President Trump has a moratorium that bans drilling through 2032. Scott said he wants to protect our national treasures for generations to come. Well, a bill Ashley Moody is sponsoring is a no-brainer. The National Taxpayers Union announcing last week it's included the Stop Spending Act in its 15th annual no-brainers list. The list includes bills that have bipartisan support and include a sensible way to address a real problem that taxpayers face. The Stop Spending Act addresses government spending shielded by other transaction agreements or OTAs. The bill calls for OTAs to be disclosed publicly, like other expenditures. Moody says the bill is a bipartisan answer to ending backdoor deals that exacerbate Washington's fiscal insanity. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola is about an 11 to 13 minute delay just due to congestion. Also, Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile Road, expecting about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. And let's see here, 98 westbound as you approach the Garcelon Point Bridge, we're seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 56. For Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 77. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Going into Thursday, plenty of sunshine, high near 77 degrees. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 48 degrees with sunshine. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Norway's sovereign wealth fund today rejected a proposed $1 trillion pay package for Tesla chief executive Elon Musk, becoming the first major investor to disclose its decision. Norges Bank Investment Management, the arm of the central bank that manages the $1.9 trillion fund, raised concerns over the size of the remuneration package. Despite its quarterly sales missing expectations, Goodyear Tire's adjusted profit beat, and the Akron, Ohio-based tire maker announced the completion of the sale of its polymer chemicals business to Gem Spring Capital Management. Goodyear shares are up nearly 2% pre-market. Another new high for stock of Amazon Monday, the tech and online retail giant shares got a boost from news that OpenAI signed a deal to buy $38 billion worth of capacity from Amazon Web Services. Under the agreement, OpenAI will immediately begin running workloads on AWS infrastructure. Wall Street futures are broadly lower right now. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Thinking of refreshing your home for the holidays? Good news! Jonathan's Flooring can help. Now through the end of November, Jonathan's is offering a special deal. They'll paint any interior room, walls, and trim up to 12 by 12 feet for only $299, including paint. Select from a large variety of colors, and rest assured, Jonathan's delivers first-class workmanship. To set your home's refresh appointment, stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, just south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Continue on. You continue on to the beach. Then you're met with an off-duty county sheriff's department employee in full uniform who explains that you can only walk on the wet sand, but you can't put your beach chair there. I have friends that were actually threatened with a trespassing citation. Is this how we welcome visitors to Perdido Keys beaches?
No, it's a good question, Orange right? It's a good question. This was during the forum for the Escambia County Commission meeting about 3 weeks ago, and it was Francis Ortiz. We talked about this at the time, but it was this question of beach access on Perdido Key, especially at Perdido Key access number. Was it one? I think it's one. Or is it two? I think it's one. Anyway, it's the one right when you go onto the roundabout and you turn left and go to Johnson Beach, you immediately turn right and you go down that road. It's that one. That's the one where people are upset because you've got this customary use issue. You've got the 75-foot issue. You've got the, you know, people going walking between crime scene tape and they see a sheriff's deputy there and they don't know what they're supposed to do. So this is in the background. And I wanted to know, well, I mean, what are you doing as law enforcement? So we have the sheriff here. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here. Those folks report to him ultimately. And I wanted to ask him, Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. Good to have you. So what are you telling your deputies? I know it's a confusing situation. There's a lot of unclarity right now in the law. But, I mean, what are you guys doing? What's the law? Tell people what they need to hear.
We're keeping the peace is what we instruct our deputies to do. So, as you mentioned, there's a lot of gray area in regards to this. And there's some things working through. Escambia County Board of County Commissioners, that they're working through some things legally. I believe it stretches all the way to Walton County. Everyone's trying to figure out, who owns beach? Is it public beach? Is it private beach? There are condo owners who believe that they own the portions of the beach, and they have some paperwork showing that, as I understand it. And then there's some new legislation that's decades old that shows that no one can own that. It's the public part, and then there's a high water mark. So there are condo owners that hire off-duty deputies, and we instruct them. That's not our crime scene tape, by the way. We don't put that tape up. That's probably a condo or someone else.
Useful to know.
Yeah, and what we're really just trying to do is keep the peace. So there is an area that a condo would own. They would own their pool area. They would own maybe the area that they store their stuff in. But when it gets closer to the water and high tide, low tide, that's when it gets a little bit in the gray area. And I've instructed our deputies not to make arrests on that particular area until this is resolved. Again, oftentimes law enforcement is put in a situation where no one knows the answer. So let's call law enforcement,
right,
a 21-year-old rookie deputy to decide what 25 and 30-year lawyers can't figure out. So what my instruction simply is to use your head, use some common sense, use some decency. Let's do our best not to arrest an individual for being on the beach. And let's make sure that there's no disruption, no violence, and that sort of thing.
Would it be fair to say, in addition to the situation being unclear, that you're really kind of waiting on the county? I mean, the commission they've been trying to work through mediation, and that didn't work. And, you know, even their answer in the commission meeting was, you know, it's kind of an unsettled issue at the moment. And so it's very hard to have a cop come in and solve what the courts and the politicians have been unable to resolve with any clarity to this point.
We are oftentimes expected to do the impossible, and that's just the bottom line. It's the first thing that we look at when we go to any locations. Let's establish ownership. Who owns this property?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a property dispute between neighbors or between whoever,
yeah,
who owns a property? Who has the authority to say you can come, you cannot come? And if we cannot establish ownership, then first of all, let's not make any arrests based upon that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just make sure that people, you know, no one strikes another person. And then let's make sure that there's, like I said, it's working its way through a court, through some sort of resolution. So you're right. We're waiting to hear from the Board of County Commissioners on who owns that property. And they're, to their credit, are trying to wait for it to run through the process before, I guess, some judge. I'm assuming they're waiting for a judge to determine who owns this property, and then it'll filter down to the Board of County Commissioners, and ultimately we'll know, and I'm sure once ownership's established, there's going to be signage.
There'll be clarity about it. Yeah, I kind of feel like it's the you know, the teacher comes across the sixth graders that are kind of fussing against each other. And you're like, you know, if you keep this up, I'm going to call your parents. In this case, the parents are the Board of County Commissioners. And you call the parents and, you know, the parents are also sixth graders. Like nobody knows.
I don't know. We don't know what.
We don't know. We're just trying to figure it out. All right. So, well, I mean, that's helpful because it seems to me like the message to folks is, you know, just simmer down. Nobody's quite sure what the end resolution is here. Let's just not get into a fight. Let's be as civil as we can to each other. And hopefully somebody will figure this out fairly soon so we know what we're doing. Good. That's not great clarity, but that is the way things are, and, you know, that's what we want. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with me. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. Highway 90 southbound approaching Pensacola. You're going to see about a 12 to 15-minute delay in that area. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound approaching I-10. It's about a 7 to 9 minute delay there. John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
And by the way, I know you feel like everything is unclear. I'm telling you, I feel like it's unclear, too. I feel like I'm not a terribly stupid person, and if I can't figure it out, you know, it's hard to expect the ordinary person to be able to figure this stuff out.
And again, there are people that have a lot of background in this. They understand the argument. They can even make the argument. Oftentimes, our deputies, that's not part of our rookie school. That's, you know, the deputies that we position out there in Perdido, we do that so that they will have some background and some knowledge, but they don't have... They don't know what happened in 1968, you know, on this.
They don't have law degrees and original documentation.
And they don't have time to go back and study all that stuff. Right. So what we do have, that's why we have attorneys.
Right.
My general counsel is talking with the Board of County Commission counsel and to make sure that we're all on the same page. And that page is that we're waiting for resolution.
Speaking of legal advice, I had somebody text in a question because I don't know if you saw this video of a porch. I don't like the term porch pirate. I think it's too nice, honestly. Porch pirate is too nice. A porch thief. Somebody who comes up on the porch, who comes up on the porch and takes a package that doesn't belong to her. And in the video, it's been booby-trapped with blue dye of some kind. It's like a ink pack and a banknote or whatever, you know, dye pack. And she gets all covered and then she backs away, tries to be calm and casual about it, whatever. And he says, "Is that legal?" And I would have said, "Oh man, it looks like it's a booby trap, and you generally can't do booby traps. You can't set a tripwire in your home, you know. You can't you can't do that generally, right?"
That's correct. Generally speaking, yes, you can't put spikes in your yard,
Punjabs, someone chest sticks or whatever,
and you
pits,
killing someone.
You can't Rambo up your front yard.
Yeah, right. And there's also obviously a civil issue there. I think you have to weigh what's taking place here. If you, I guess blue paint wouldn't be that bad. And here's the thing. First of all, you shouldn't be stealing someone's package, right? Let's all understand that.
Right.
But as much as we want to catch them, I'd be very careful about what type of booby trap we have. Again, is it something that's going to harm them? It's going to put you if not a criminal matter of some sort of a culpable negligence type thing.
Right.
Did you know or should have known that was going to cause harm? And here's the thing: what if it's a 5-year-old going there and doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to take all these things in consideration. I would be very cautious about that sort of thing for the viewership that you're maybe trying to get.
Would you expect an arrest in this case if the porch thief came to you? I mean, aside from arresting them.
I can't imagine if paint got on an individual that we would arrest them. We would
the other one.
Just say that it's probably we'd probably get the person.
Lesson learned, go do better.
The person with blue paint would probably end up going to jail. I can't imagine a situation where we'd arrest someone for trying to protect their package with some paint dye. The banks do it all the time,
right, of course, frankly. Right.
So, but if you're doing something, you got one of these swinging, you know, bowling balls or something that's going to swing
like
on
Home
and
Alone.
Knock you and crush your face, then there might be some culpable negligence there, and certainly some civil issues that you might have. I can't imagine your homeowner insurance would love you to do that. So call them first.
Yeah, no, that's fair. By the way, no major incidents this week, which we'll celebrate that. I mean, we seem to always have something to talk about, and this week kind of haven't had, and what's great, you know, I know you guys don't like the quiet word, but I'll say it, you know, it's been pretty quiet in Escambia County, which is unusual, so I'll take it.
Since you mentioned it, I mean, we did take a look at some numbers yesterday, and our call volume, the calls into our dispatch is up from the year. Well, you're at 1%, which is we have more people.
Yeah.
More people call, but our offense reports or the reports based upon a criminal act is quite a bit down.
It's, great.
It's quite a bit down. Our homicides are, one is too many, as we know. We have 13 homicides so far this year. At this time last year and every year since, we've had upper 20s, almost 30 homicides.
I was going to say 13 is not very many at this point in the year.
We got about half of what we normally have.
That's great. And you know what's interesting? My perception is that it's worse than that. But that's, of course, I live in the world where that's what we talk about and that's what we see. And, of course, that's why you have statistics, because
there's
statistics.
There's a song about that, Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, there is. Right. That's exactly right. No, that's great news. We were talking about in Milton school zone speed cameras, something that they are thinking about putting in. And I was just kind of curious. I know, like, you know, I live close to West Florida High School, so we see the cop out there. I mean, it's a catastrophe every day. You know, pick up and drop off at every school is a catastrophe every day. But I always appreciate that the deputies are out there in the middle of the road with their cruisers and the lights on, and they're telling people what to do, and it's good. It's better. But do you still see, like, I'm just kind of curious, as a problem, is it a problem of people speeding in school zones when kids are present? Or is there so much congestion that it's not really a problem? I mean, you tell me.
Well, I mean, how many is a problem? Is one person speeding through a school zone a problem? Yes. How big a problem is it? You know, you have to weigh that. But like we said a couple of weeks ago, I have just as many complaints about congestion, about cars stopped, as I do speeding through various intersections. So we have speed traders. We've doubled the size of our speed trader. You know,
What now?
Our speed traders, where we can stick out there so people know how fast. Just a reminder that you're going too fast, because sometimes I guess they don't see the speed lights.
Yeah.
In fact, I just got a call this morning that, with a time change, someone didn't change the school zone lights, so they're not quite working in the right time. So whoever's listening, whoever's got that switch, please
change the circadian rhythm of the school zones. True.
So you can do that. But getting back to the point, one is too many. And to get those cameras and that system and that whole system at work, and I'm assuming you talked about that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, the deputies have to look at it. The county commission has to set up an ordinance to allow that to take place. It's $100 fine, and where does the money go? And we have to have deputies on hand to review all of these things. Now, we talked about this internally when I first took office.
Okay.
You know, to say, is this something that we want to do? And at the time, again, we have deputies in the intersections so much that we didn't have the extra
manpower.
Deputies that they could sit in the office and review all these things that might be taking place. So there might be an avenue for that if the Board of County Commissioner has an appetite for it. I'm curious as to where the money would go, where the fines would go. But that's just not. First of all, we're not the first step. Board of County Commission would have to be the first step.
I will just say, as a driver, there are some places where the congestion is so bad that you couldn't even speed if you wanted to. There are other places where, if you're not familiar with it as a school zone, you know, I honestly remember the first time I was taking 9th Avenue North and turning west on Olive, and I just didn't even realize it was a school zone until I was in it. And there was no lights or anything like that. It might have been like not during the hours, so whatever. Right. But I'm like, oh, geez, what am I doing? You know, because you don't think of it, and you don't see any kids, and so you just don't think of it. It can happen.
You know, it's also 30 minutes after the school starts, right? So that's the time, because traffic does flow. And there's not a lot of people walking around, but there's maybe that kid that's late for school,
right?
That's running, you know, darting across the street. So it's obviously still a working zone, and you can get yourself in a bind.
The cameras are up in Pensacola Beach. Where are we at?
Well, they're not up yet.
Okay,
we're still working through that. We've got a couple months before they get up. These things take a while because they're professionally done.
And this is a permanent installation of surveillance cameras at Casino Beach parking lot and so forth.
So we have to find existing poles. We have to get the power sources there. We have to then integrate that with our real time crime center. We've already done it halfway with the boardwalk cameras, and so we're going to continue to do this. We'll have it up by next. I guess spring break.
All right. Anything else you're working on? Anything else you want to let people know about?
Nah.
Anything coming up? Any movie nights or, you know?
We do. We're going to have a
touch
movie
a truck
night
or
up in,
dinner
up
with
in,
the cop
Century,
or dinner with the
November.
Truck or touch a cop. I don't know which way it goes.
We have
all
a coffee
the time.
With a cop. We don't have as many trucks as you know, firefighters
do. Okay. Yeah. They do have the big shinies, so that's fine.
No.
Big red ladder trucks that make a big impression on the kids. You got the Bearcat, but anyway, so anything coming up?
We got the Bearcat. November 13th, we have Coffee with a Cop
at
the Lucky Goat on North Davis Highway. That's pretty good. We're working on finalizing our movie night. We're going to move on all the way up to Century to have it up there at Anthony Pizant Park up there.
Okay.
We had it up there a couple years ago, and it was actually pretty good. A little cool up there. and heading up north.
You know, yeah, I know. North. You got to put an extra coat on when you go to the Timberland, right? So
it's going to take us 45 minutes to get up there. That's true.
That's right. All right. Well, Sheriff Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for what you do. Great to have a week where we didn't have to talk about anything particularly awful. I like that. But, you know, I expect there will be some at some point.
And, you bet.
You know, that's why you guys are out there, so I appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
All right, y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got a broke-down vehicle right now in the roadway at I-10 westbound, right at mile marker number 22, which is where you get on to I-10 from Avalon Boulevard, which is causing some major traffic delays in that area. So just be aware of that. Also, Highway 90 southbound into Pensacola, seeing about a 12 to 15-minute delay. And let's see here, Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile Road, seeing about a 10 to 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, somebody texts in and says, if Perdido has ever had beach renourishment then that was paid for by the federal county, that would answer. But as I recall, they have not ever had it paid by the county for that reason, actually, to preserve whatever the status quo ante was. So I think that's the answer to that. Hey, if you're thinking about picking up that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. You know, cars that are 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. They're going to warranty everything they have. They warranty until 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're only going to sell you good quality cars. But think of them as like the buffet. You know, you go there and you can sample a lot of different things. And, you know, even if you think you know what your next car is going to be, and I don't mean like wait until the day you're going to buy. I mean, you know, go ahead of time. Go 5 or 6 months before you need to buy a car and look around and get familiar because, man, there's nothing worse than having to make a decision on the spot, being stressed, and if there's something gone wrong with your car, you know, and you're like, how do I get around? Well, you don't want that. It's just like you don't go shopping when you're hungry for food and don't go shopping when you need a car for a car. Go earlier if you can. I mean, sometimes things happen, I know. But go shopping earlier and look around and get a sense of what's out there. And it is a great chance to sample a lot of different things at Frontier because they have so many different cars, about 300 on the lot. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Need to move across town, across the country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BVB-accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all the surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sins Foundation. Choose a team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com today.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who's in charge here?
You know, when you put your eyes wide open like that, John, you do a pretty good claw game alien.
Well, I was trying my best.
Appreciate that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The federal government shutdown is now in day 35, tying the record for the longest shutdown in U.S. history. The Senate set to vote for a 14th time today to end the impasse. And comedian John Oliver has sold out of wine, Andrew. Apparently it was for a good cause. He unveiled his Cabernet Sauvignon on Sauvignon. Sunday night.
Did you say Sauvignon?
Sauvignon. That was what he named it. Yeah. Apparently, it was a special edition, raked in about $50,000, and the money was all donated to food banks.
All right. Thank you, sir, for the update.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.